Notre Dame Stadium, Tim Priester, Tim O'Malley, John Bryce, Notre Dame's jersey scrimmage. I counted 77 plays. Coach Freeman said they were in the 80s. I believe him. Mine's an unofficial count. But offense, defense, the defense was winning most of the day. The offense put a couple drives together to take the lead with their scoring system, but a couple of pick sixes and then a third pick, two picks of Steve Angeli and one of Kenny Minchie. Decided it for the defense, and I asked Marcus Freeman about defense should be ahead. It's Al Golden's third year. He's got a whole complement of defensive coaches that have been with him, generally speaking, and so the defense is ahead. But the offense did some good things along the way, certainly, but in the end, it was those pick sixes that that turned the tide toward the defense.
You mentioned Steve Angeli picked off twice, Kenny Minchie once, both for a pick six. You know who wasn't picked off for multiple reasons? C.J. Carr, because he throws dimes. And also, he was going against the number twos and the number threes. He never did go against the number ones. He had success against the number twos. Look, he throws the best ball. We talked after practice. It's silly to suggest he doesn't
does
throw the best
take,
ball.
It does not take long not. To decide who throws the best-looking ball.
Of course, he did not end up going against that top-tier national defense that Kenny Minchie and Steve Angeli had to.
He did not, but he went against some guys with the twos that have played a lot of football for Notre Dame, and I don't think you can discount that. He absolutely looked incredible today, delivered the ball really well. But beyond what we saw physically, we saw some of the intangibles. We saw him motion back. I want to say maybe that was a Chris Mitchell or Jaden Greathouse to convert a long third down on what ended up becoming the first touchdown drive of the game. And he was flushed to his left. He signaled downfield, come back, and then delivered an absolute dart across the field from about midfield to the sideline and several yards downfield. That was a really long pass, probably 40-plus yards in the air, delivered on a rope. C.J. Carr looked really, really good today. And again, the guy who's been here the least, the guy who did not have a turnover today.
Jaden Mickey had the first pick six of Steve Angeli. It was about 70 yards. We don't have anything.
75,
so
I think.
That was a 75 yards.
Yard
so that,
out, yeah.
That was the first one. The second one, Kenny Minchie threw, that Xavier Watts picked off. And, you know, both were easy pick sixes.
I felt Minchie was pressured a little on his,
right.
And Angeli's was red from the snap.
Watts, Watts strutted the last 30 yards because nobody was close to him. And then Angeli's last throw as the scrimmage was ending. Intercepted by a Don Shuler. So not a great day for those guys. But again, as Tim points out, and I don't want people to overreact. I know everybody will.
You can overreact for 2025 because C.J. Carr's good, so it's fine.
he just throws such a pretty ball. I mean, it's just there's a difference when the ball comes out of his hand compared to probably just about anybody else across the country. He's one of the top-rated quarterbacks in his class of 2024. And so there's a reason why he looks that good.
Yeah, and we saw Riley Leonard participating out there from a mental standpoint and engaged in the huddles and being very much a part of the team. We didn't see Riley Leonard other than Pascal and warm-ups throw any football. So we're talking about how well C.J. Carr threw the football today, with the caveat being we didn't see Riley Leonard execute a play from snap as he continues to recover from that right stress fracture surgery. But C.J. Carr, again, delivered great throws on the money. That one pass that we already alluded to that sustained a drive along the sideline that converted. And I want to say at a 3rd and 13. It was a really, really true testing moment early for C.J. Carr in this scrimmage and early in his Notre Dame career. And then later in that same possession was flushed up the middle, sidestepped a defender, waited on Jack Polian to get free and delivered what was almost a touchdown down to the 1 yard line. C.J. Carr cleaned it up on the next snap and took the touchdown himself. But again, he didn't have to face the one defense. He didn't have the one offense very much either. So he had some receivers that have played a lot. He had some running backs that will play for Notre Dame. But for all of us talking about how C.J. Carr never faced the one defense, he never had the full complement of Notre Dame offensive weapons either.
The defensive line got the best of the offensive line in general, especially coming off the edge.
Yes.
Boubacar Traore he's big time. He's going to be big time. He's going to play a ton. I thought that Charles Jagasaw struggled quite a bit, with the off the edge rush. It's something that we've said all along. I get ripped when I say that he's a guard. That's his best position, but he's one of Notre Dame's best offensive tackles. Not saying he didn't do good things today, which he certainly did, but Boubacar Traore off the edge is really, really impressive. And I think the entire press corps, it's very difficult not to be impressed by what you see from the linebacker corps. It's young. We've been in recent days, we've been really talking about the linebacker core, and I think it showed again today.
Yeah, Bowen and Snead are very active. Viliamuasa, he looks already comfortable in pass coverage, in blitzing. Mm-hmm. He gets there in a hurry. He affected a second twos versus twos rep late with what would have been a sack. I want to add that Jordan Botello and Junior Tula Halamaka played well off the edge too. And my question to Marcus Freeman was, a lot of these guys were unblocked, and I don't know if that's Kenny Michie and Steve Angeli not calling the right protection. I don't know if it's Baker and Jackson not picking it up. But there were two or three sacks or would-be sacks where no one was touched, and it wasn't like they were beating the tackle. So I think that's something to clean up as well. But interestingly enough, we talk about all these blitzes. I thought the running backs did well.
I was going to say, you know who did block well? The running backs blocked well today.
The running backs picked up a lot of blitzes. They stepped in there. And another thing that stood out to me about the running backs today, there were not gaping holes for those guys to run through, but I don't know that we really saw many lost yardage plays from the running. So we saw them stopped a couple of times at the line of scrimmage, but we also saw them fighting to get 2, 3, and 4 yards when a play didn't feel like it was or appear like it was particularly well blocked. So no balls on the ground from the running backs today except for Jadarian Price. Muffed a punt early on and then picked it up on a Sunday hop and actually executed about a 14 to 16 yard punt return out of that. But a good day overall for the backs. The receivers, I thought, did some really nice things. As
Cam Williams had a good day with the going against the twos and threes. I think C.J. Carr was his quarterback, by the way. But it's worth noting that Cam Williams did have a good day today.
Because he did. He started out really fast. There was a period in the middle where he didn't catch a whole lot, and then he finished strong as well.
Yeah, it's a situation where I expected the defense to be ahead of the offense. It's year three, but it's not only year three. Look, you have Riley Mills and Howard Cross in the middle of that while you're breaking in new guards.
And Al Golden's, he's known for in these practice situations, he's going to throw everything at offense. He doesn't care whether the offense is ready or not. I think sometimes they probably adjust and not let him do some of the things that he wants to do. But generally speaking, you talk to the offensive players throughout the spring, they talk about how much the defense challenges them. And that was very much the case today. I wanted to add that Eli Raridan, John, you brought that up. We saw more of Eli Raridan today than we did probably at any point throughout the entire spring.
I don't remember seeing him during the spring.
Yeah, right.
He played a lot today. He had a key catch on a 3rd-and-12 play where he gained 14 yards, I think, from Angeli, a drive that ended up fizzling with just barely a missed field goal from Mitch Jeter, I believe, that hit the left upright. Plenty of leg, plenty of distance. Maybe it was the wind, but it was it had to be pretty accurate to hit the upright as squarely as it did. So, we saw a lot of Eli Raridan, and I was going to note that I think, unless I'm mistaken here, the only time we saw Notre Dame in two tight 12 personnel was when they practiced coming out against their own goal line, and they were in a two tight set at the 3-yard line and working out of that. But I noticed it took them 3 plays to get a first down and move the sticks. And as soon as they got to around 13 or 14 yard line, boom, they were back to a 1 tight 3 wide set with a running back. So they did not run very much 12 personnel at all today. I know that's partly a byproduct of having Flanagan and Raridan and Davis Sherwood, basically the only scholarship guys available. But you could tell also part of the identity of this offense today. And they ran as much with 4 guys split out, even at times when they split Flanagan or Raridan out with a wide out. They ran more snaps with 4 wides or 4 guys out than they did 12 personnel today.
This is not going to come as a surprise to anyone, but Jaden Greathouse looked like a number one receiver today. We've talked about him all spring, about the effort that he puts in every time it's his turn to take a snap, and he did it again today. He gets open, he finds ways. I asked Marcus Freeman about him after practice because Mike Denbrock had said that's a guy. When I asked Mike Denbrock about what guys can play multiple positions, the first guy he said was Jaden Greathouse, and he said he can play boundary, field, or slot. We knew about slot when he was coming in, but he has added the diversity to his game. I love the way he's playing football. Tim, you mentioned Cam Williams had a really good day. Before we get to the offensive line, I want to talk about that a little bit. But anything else you guys want to add about the receiving core?
Jaden Thomas out.
Thank
hamstring.
You, Jayden Thomas, yep.
Jayden Harrison out. It's plantar fasciitis in his foot. He'll be out for the spring because there's 1 week left, yeah. Obviously.
One thing on the wideouts I wanted to note is that, and we talked about it in a recent maybe instant analysis, was Jeremiah Love with working with the wideouts. They moved him around today. They didn't just have him in the slot when he was lined up at wide receiver. I know there was one point he lined up to the field, and then they brought him in motion. But Jeremiah Love, there were multiple sets today where Jeremiah Love was in there lined up as a wideout with Jadarian Price in the backfield as the tailback. So, again, that's Mike Denbrock. That's Mike Denbrock saying we're going to get the best 11 players, and particularly we're going to get our best, most explosive skill players out onto the field.
Well, Jeremiah Love was a running back on one play because he bundled a Don Shuler. That was a physical run by Jeremiah Love. That was head-on, one-on-one, absolutely running over him, and Shuler can hit. Shuler's a physical safety.
Yeah. No, he buried him on that play, no doubt about it. Tyson Ford, we also want to mention. I know we're talking receivers, but Tyson Ford was not there today. Marcus Freeman said he stepped away for personal reasons, and so we'll hear some resolution on that here as the spring comes to a close. I want to talk about the offensive line because Pendleton, who's been playing center that we mentioned, and we talked about a three-man competition at left guard. Pendleton's playing center right now. He really, really struggled with the snaps.
Yeah. Were with the two.
I mean, in terms of like just shotgun snaps, at least five, maybe six low or off target snaps. He's new to the position. That's understandable. As it relates to the left guard competition with Coogan and Spindler, I lied. I didn't watch the left guard on every snap like I said I would. Like I said I would because I was missing too much after a few plays, which I knew would happen. But if you asked me, based upon what I saw today, Coogan was the better of the left guards. Marcus Freeman talked about Spindler not being 100% yet. And I understand that completely. And, you know, I wrote it the other day in Thursday Thoughts that it's going to be a competition at that left guard spot. But Coogan's in the driver's seat for right now, and I thought he had the better day today.
I did as well. And I think John pointed it out. There were no big runs, really. Love had the one highlight run, but the running backs had a quality afternoon, despite tough sledding against that front seven. And despite at times Adon Shuler would come down, he did have a run stuff off the edge, also unblocked. It's a shame there's no film. I would love to see some of these situations where the unblocked players made plays. Maybe that's just putting defensive players that are quick in good positions.
Yeah, as we mentioned early on, it was defense, defense, defense. They were winning the scoring system, and all of a sudden offense put a couple drives together and took the lead, but the pick six is ultimately tilted toward the defense.
We had a conversation with some other writers coming back here. It's like, you know, the offense actually had a pretty good day other than those crippling pick sixes, which do count in football games, so that was a big deal.
And the Adon Shuler pick might have been a pick six had it not been the last snap of the scrimmage, and so that stood out to me. I thought you saw some of the younger players. Anthony Knapp is having a very solid spring from people I've talked to here on campus along the offensive front. His name escapes me at the moment. Number 64, Connor, 64 on the O-line is having a
Otting.
Very – yes, okay. Yes.
Joe Otting.
Joe Otting. I apologize. He's having a very solid spring. Got some work today at center as the scrimmage went along and did some good things. They like the physicality and the mentality that he plays with along the offensive front. The longest run of the day was probably Kenny Minchie when he was flushed out of the pocket and had a nice long run through the middle of the field. Showed some niftiness in making some moves. Didn't just rely on the red jersey to be whistled dead or anything like that. So there were moments from all of the quarterbacks today, but what sticks with me is the guy that looked the best is the guy that's been on campus the least, and he's the guy who didn't have a single turnover, and that's C.J. Carr.
Gabe Rubio was in attendance. We saw him along the sideline. Bo Collins was out there as well. Was Rod Hurd there too?
Rod Hurd and Ben Morrison injured, but out there celebrating with his team after the X-Watts pick six.
All right, last call. Anything else?
Yeah, we have a blue goal game to watch still.
We do have the blue goal game, and we have a Irish Illustrated Insider podcast on Monday. Join us for that. And until then, Tim Priester, Tim O'Malley, John Bryce, and this has been Irish Illustrated's Instant Analysis.